This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Thomas. Dixon.
Here.
Freeman.
Hi.
Holzbauer.
Here.
Hutmaker. Larson.
Here.
And Bjork.
Here. We have a quorum to continue business today. I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, which is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. The meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, follow the link, and select the name of the Board of Water Management. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants, including board members, please identify yourself when speaking. Anyone participating remotely is reminded to keep their microphones or phones muted at all times unless speaking. Okay, has everyone had a chance to take a look at the agenda? Any additions, deletions, corrections? Ron, you got anything to add?
No, I do not.
A motion to accept the agenda.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Freeman.
Holzbauer, second.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. The minutes of the December 8th meeting of the board. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at them? Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, Freeman again. I would move approval of the December 8th, 2021 minutes.
Do I hear a second?
Dixon, second.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. Brenda, would you please call the roll?
Thomas. Dixon.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
Hutmaker. Larson.
Aye.
Bjork.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Any conflict disclosures, requests for state board waivers from any of the board members? Hearing none, let's talk about the upcoming meeting in May. Does anybody have any conflicts? May 4th and or 5th?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, are we going to do that in Pier, I'm assuming, Ron?
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay, it'd be kind of nice to have a meeting in person, I think, one day, so let's maybe shoot for that.
This is Larson. I have a trial in Polk County, and most likely it'll settle, though. We're actually in negotiations, just so the board knows. It's one I should resolve. So
okay.
It starts that Monday on the 2nd, which probably only take 2 days. It's scheduled for 3, but it'll most likely settle.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill. Okay. According to South Dakota Codified Law 1-25-1, we are now opening the public comment period. Anyone in the audience have any public comments for the board? I'm not sure what's happening here.
I stepped outside the room to communicate with Jim. He's in the executive session meeting, so I'm going to email him the link to get into this meeting, so I apologize. I stepped away for a minute, so there's no one in the room for public comment, and I don't hear anybody saying anything online or see anybody, so I think you're safe to proceed.
Okay. Given that, we will close the public comment period. Anyone on staff or Kirsten, status and review of water rights litigation?
Yeah, my understanding from Mr. McVeigh as well as Ms. Mines Bailey is that PowerTech has filed a notice of appeal from the board's order denying the motion to amend the procedural order to resume the evidentiary hearing. So that appeal is pending at this point. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, Ms. Bashan, would you be willing to administer the oath of office to the staff?
Sure. Do each of you solemnly swear any testimony you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the appointment of the Rapid Valley Water Master. Who's going to take that?
Good morning. I'm Michaela Sweeney. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Rights Program. Today, hi, I'm Michaela Sweeney. Good morning. Today, I'm here to present the Rapid Valley Conservancy District's Water Master nominee for the board's approval. The Conservancy District has chosen to nominate Kevin Hamm again as Water Master for 2022.
Any questions from the board? I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved, Mr. Chair Freeman.
Second.
Go ahead.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. Please call the roll.
Dixon.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
York.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on now.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
How are you? You're out in space somewhere. You're out in another space.
Yeah, modern technology eludes me some.
Okay, well, welcome. Ron, we want to talk about future use reviews.
Yes. Good morning. We only have one future use review today, and that is for the city of Vermilion. If you recall, entities like municipalities, rural water systems, water development districts, they can reserve water for future use. And then once they do that, they can appropriate the water out of it as needed in the future. Once they get a future use permit, they are subject to review by the board every 7 years. And so the time has come for the city of Vermilion. The process for getting these in front of the board is to publish a notice in the paper that provides the opportunity for anybody who is interested or concerned to intervene. We did not get any interveners, but I should back up. Before we actually do that, we contact the city in this case and ask them whether they're interested in retaining their future use permit. City of Vermilion did indicate so. They provided us some water use information to back up their desire to retain it. So the chief engineer's recommendation is that it remain in effect for an additional 7 years. There were no petitioners, and so now it's in your hands.
Questions from the board for Ron. I'll entertain a motion.
This is Larson. I'll make a motion to approve it.
Do I hear a second?
Dixon, second.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, Brenda, please call the roll.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, Ron. Next item on the agenda, irrigation questionnaire violations. Jenny?
Good morning, members of the board. Jenny McMath here with the Water Rights Program, giving the report on irrigation questionnaire violations for this last season. Every year in October, we mail out irrigation questionnaires to irrigators for reporting water use. This last October, we mailed out roughly 3,800 irrigation questionnaires to 1,960 irrigators. They were sent a cover letter explaining how they could return the irrigation questionnaires. The options there are listed on the report. Online is the preferred method now, and a lot of them are doing that, so that's nice. It saves a lot of data entry. They could submit it by mail in the postage envelope that we sent to them, or they could send it by fax, or they can simply just pick up the phone and call as well. In January, we sent out approximately 225 notices to those irrigators who had not returned their irrigation questionnaire. All of those notices are sent by certified mail, so we get something. We don't necessarily get anything back. I have to go in online and check to see if they received their mail or not. That January 20th notice advised permit holders, depending on their certain violations, that the board could suspend their permits for a period of up to 1 year for the first violation, 3 years for the second violation, or cancel their permit or water right for a third violation. And also on those that do not have that qualification currently, that the board could amend their permit to include that qualification. And what that does is in the future, then it allows the board to either suspend or for 1, 3, or cancel a permit. Today, the list that you have in front of you has been changed slightly. We had an online submission last night after the list was made for Corey Johansson. He's about 3/4 of the way down on the first page, Potter County, permit 7043-3. So we do have that one on file now. And then this morning, under violation 2 on the second page, Jeff DeVries sent his in by fax, so those should come off of the listing. So we're here to ask the board this morning to suspend those on page 1 with the first violation and a little bit on page 2 for 1 year. The second violation, there'll be 3 of them left, would be for a 3-year suspension, and violation A, just to add that qualification to their permits. Now the suspension would be, we're recommending effective April 4th. That gives them 30 days to send it in after we send them the letter saying the board took action, and that gives them another opportunity to send it in. I probably rattled through that too fast. Do you have any questions?
Any questions for Jenny? Jenny, I might have one.
Sure.
We see this list every year. Are a lot of these the same people that don't submit them every year? Or this?
Oh, yeah.
Are they new all the time?
Nope, they're basically the same folks.
That's kind of interesting. We should get to know them after a while.
Oh, I do.
Well, good. Thank you for doing that.
Yes.
I will entertain a motion for suspension of these permits.
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move to suspend for 1 year those listed under violation one, with the exception of Corey Johansson, to suspend for 3 years those listed under violation two, with the exception of Jeff DeVries, and to add the qualification to violation A, the ones that are listed, all to be effective April 4th, 2022.
Do I hear a second?
This is Larson. I'll second that motion.
Can I add
motion
something?
Made and seconded. Further discussion?
Can I add something?
Yes, please.
The violation A would be amendment. We're recommending those be effective today.
I will amend my motion then to include the April 4th effective date for violations 1 and 2 and violation A to be effective immediately.
And I think you mean you will move to amend your motion to reflect that, correct? Because the motion was already made and seconded, so we'll have to do a motion to amend to that effect.
Yeah. That will be a motion to amend my earlier motion.
Do I hear a second on the amendment?
This is Larson. I'll second that motion.
The motion made and seconded. Further discussion on the amendment? Brenda, would you please call the roll?
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
York.
Aye. Motion carried. So the motion in front of us now is to approve the suspensions and the addition of the criteria for violation A. Further discussion? Hearing none. Brenda, please call the roll.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
And York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Kirsten, do we have to wait till 10 o'clock, given that this is a non-contested case?
No, we do have the individual for the city of Huron who indicated he was online too. So he is present if there's questions for him as well.
He's here, so we probably don't have to wait until the actual 10 o'clock hour.
For him, he can waive it if he wants to, and we can just move forward.
Is he available to do that?
I am here and available, and I'm just fine with moving forward at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Mark? Mark Rath? Mark, are you around?
Yep, here I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Mark Rath. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Rights Program. The issue before the board this morning is an uncontested application to amend an existing right. It's application number 2049A-3. City of Huron holds water right number 2049-3, which appropriates 2.0 cubic feet per second from the James River to provide additional storage of up to 90 acre feet in Ravine Lake for municipal and recreation use, and it holds a priority date of February 13th, 1974. The city requests the amendment And what the amendment would do would change the annual period of use from what's on the original water right from April 1st through June 30th annually. And what they want to do is they're requesting a change to extend that from April 1st through October 31st annually. There would be no additional water appropriated, and is that would be authorized by this application. 2049-3, diversion rate is already included in the 300 cubic feet per second and limit that the board has placed on appropriations from the James River from the North Dakota border down to the Yankton-Hutchinson County line, and the 200 cubic foot per second limit diversion rate, which goes from the North Dakota state line down to the 3rd Street Dam, or 4th Street Dam in Huron. The requested extension annual period use would have a potential of adversely affecting existing rights' ability to divert water during dry periods. So what we'd be looking at doing is placing some qualifications on it. One of them would be the August 10th automatic shutoff, which annually the appropriators who have this qualification are required to cease their diversions. If there's sufficient water in the river during that period of time after the August 10th, the permit holder can make a request to the chief engineer for an extension on that, and that happens fairly often. Permit would not authorize diversions from James River when there's less than 20 cubic feet per second, bypassing the USGS gauging station at Huron after pumping. The chief engineer is recommending approval. I believe you have the recommendation in there. I do want to mention one, and that was number two, which says diversions under this permit during the period of July 1 through October 31 are subject to existing water rights with a priority dates predating October 4th, 2021, and any written orders issued by the chief engineer. Oh, are there any questions by the board?
Any questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move approval of application 2049A-3, subject to the qualifications set forth by the chief engineer.
Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Hutmaker, I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. Brenda, please call the roll.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And the gentleman from Huron, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Thank you for coming.
This is Chad Schroeder from City of Huron. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your time.
You're certainly welcome. Next item that we have on the agenda is permit applications 8565-3, 8566-3, and 8567-3. Ms. Steen.
Mr. Chair, this is Ann Nines Bailey on behalf of the Water Rights and the Chief Engineer. Ms. Steen has not testified before the board before. And with that in mind, we would like the board to allow us to do a question and answer format this morning.
Unless there are objections by board members, I think that's certainly acceptable.
Thank you. Michaela, can you introduce yourself to the board, please?
Good morning, Ben. Can everybody hear her?
No. try that one more time.
Good morning. I'm Nikayla Steen.
Very good. Nikayla, what is it that you do for water rights?
I review water permit applications for water availability and the potential for unlawful impairment on adequate wells. Additionally, I do field work measuring the observation wells and the lake levels. I am also the department representative on the Western States Water Council.
What's your job title?
Natural Resources Engineer.
How long have you been with Water Rights?
Over 2 years.
Where did you go to school?
South Dakota School of Mines in Rapid City, where I'm from.
What degree did you get?
Geological Engineering. And I'm also scheduled to take my FE exam later this month.
So you're working towards your PE?
Yes.
Are you familiar with water permit applications 8565-3, 8566-3, and 8567-3?
Yes.
How so?
I was the engineer assigned to write the technical report analyzing water availability and unlawful impairment for these applications.
Could you describe each of the applications for the board, please?
Mr. Dustin Hossey has filed 3 water permit applications. The first one, 8565-3, is requesting 1.11 CFS from one well for the irrigation of 124 acres. The second permit application, 8566-3, requesting 1.78 CFS for the irrigation of 132 acres. And the third permit application, 8567-3, requesting 2.22 CFS from one well for the irrigation of 226 acres. All 3 wells are expected to be completed into a glacial outwash deposit of the Pliocene Series Unknown Aquifer, which I may refer to as PSU Aquifer over the course of this.
Approximately where are these points of diversion located?
The 3 proposed diversion points are located in Turner County, approximately 3 miles west of Parker, South Dakota.
And you testified that you prepared a report.
Yes.
Are there any corrections, additions, or clarifications you'd like to make to that report?
There's one clarification I would like to make, and it's on page 10 in the hydrologic budget section. Under that section, in the third sentence, where it starts with the average annual withdrawal rate, this sentence reads, the average annual withdrawal rate is approximately 472.1 acre feet based on the water rights and permits currently authorized to appropriate water from this outwash deposit, which is untrue. Currently, only 70.4 acre feet per year is expected to be withdrawn from the aquifer, but if these 3 applications were approved, then it would be the 472.1 that's expected to be withdrawn.
Is this essentially a Scrivener's error?
Yes, it would not change my analysis.
Okay. Are there any other additions, clarifications, or corrections?
Not at this time.
Okay. So could you describe the Pleistocene Series Unknown Aquifer for the board, please?
The term Pleistocene Series Unknown is a generic name used by the Water Rights Program for a category of sand and gravel outwash deposits that were deposited by glacial movement during this Pliocene geologic time that are not a part of a previously mapped aquifer. It's kind of a catch-all name.
What kind of materials make up the aquifer?
The aquifer consists of fine sand and gravel.
And about what's the aerial extent?
Approximately 11,700 acres for this discontinuous outwash deposit.
Do you have any estimations as to thickness of the aquifer?
It ranges between 14 to 43 feet thick over the extent.
How about whether or not this aquifer is confined or unconfined?
This aquifer is expected to be confined at the proposed diversion points based on the submitted test hole completion reports with the application, as well as the nearby well completion reports and lithologic logs on file.
What kind of head pressure are you seeing in those logs and observation wells?
In the nearest observation well, TU-82C, located approximately a mile from these proposed diversion points, for the well's water level period of record, the artesian head pressure has ranged from 90 to 100 feet over the period of record.
Kayla, when you reviewed the applications, what did you review for?
Water availability and the potential of unlawful impairment.
Okay, let's talk about availability. How do you determine the availability of unappropriated water?
By compiling a hydrologic budget comparing average annual withdrawal rates and recharge to an aquifer, as well as analyzing the observation well data to see how an aquifer reacts to climatic conditions and local pumping.
So how does the Pleistocene Series Unknown receive recharge?
A study specific to recharge for the Pleistocene Series Unknown aquifer has not been completed at this time, but its primary mechanical mechanisms are through the infiltration of precipitation and from groundwater inflow from hydrologically connected and adjacent aquifers, which is probably the underlying Niobrara aquifer at this location.
Kind of already answered it, but let me ask specifically, have any studies been done on this aquifer specifically to determine recharge?
A study has not been done specific to the Pleistocene Series Unknown.
So how did you determine recharge?
Recharge was estimated using a range from Hedges 1985. It is a recommended recharge rate range of 0.15 to 0.6 inches per year for use by management and development programs.
What would that be in acre feet per year?
When you multiply this recharge rate by the aerial extent, 11,700 acres, the average annual recharge rate ranges between 146 to 585 acre feet per year.
That's quite a range. Where do you think the recharge is on that range of 146 to 585 for this aquifer?
Recharge to the outwash deposit is estimated to fall in the middle of this range, which is approximately 365.5 acre feet per year. When you're estimating recharge using a non-aquifer specific recharge rate like this one, it is prudent to assume the mid-range when there is not sufficient evidence available to support using the lower or higher end of a recharge rate range.
Is there any evidence that would indicate to you that the middle of the range is the appropriate estimation?
Typically, overburden material can help one lean towards a lower or higher end, but the overburden material for the three proposed diversion points ranges from thick clay deposits to thinner sand deposits, which would not prevent all water from permeating through, but it also wouldn't allow water to flow through without resistance, so also supporting a middle range value.
Did you also look at data from the observation wells?
Yes.
How many observation wells are there in this aquifer?
Currently, there are only four completed into this outwash deposit.
Did you look at all four?
Yes, but three of these observation wells were completed into the aquifer in 2016, so the period of record for water level readings in these wells is limited. Therefore, an emphasis was placed on the one remaining observation well with a period of water level readings, and this observation well was TU-82C.
What's the period of record for that particular observation well?
1982 to present day.
And what are you seeing in the observation well data?
The hydrograph for this observation well is on page 6 in figure 2. From the hydrograph for TU-82C, the trend of the water levels over the period of record is generally stable. However, from 1993 to 2002, a slight decline is noted, and the cause of this slight decline is not known at this time. However, this outwash deposit may be attempting to equilibrate to new pumping from it and from adjacent and hydrologically connected aquifers that were increasing development during that period.
Did something happen in 2002 to cause that change in the trend?
In 2002, the City of Marion, who holds water rights within this outwash deposit, was connected to a rural water system, and there's actually a slight increasing trend from 2002 until present day, or following that. I'd have to verify the increasing trend. This is of concern, though, this slight decline from 1993 until 2020, due to the limited aerial extent of this outwash deposit and the lack of other observation well data to show whether the water levels of TU-82C should be considered as stable or slightly declining.
Could you tell the board about the withdrawals that are taking place in this aquifer, please?
Discharge from this outwash deposit is primarily through well withdrawals and outflow through the adjacent till.
How many water permits are there?
Currently, there are four, and this includes water permit number 7495, which was initially coded as withdrawing from the Niobrara aquifer, but through my analysis, it was determined to be withdrawing from the same outwash deposit of the Pliocene series unknown aquifer.
So you included that?
Yes, it was included in the analysis in those four permits.
What's the estimated total of withdrawals coming from the aquifer right now?
The estimated average annual withdrawal rate from the outwash deposit based on the current level of development is approximately the 70.4 acre feet per year.
How did you come to that number?
For the four water rights, two are authorized for irrigation use and two are authorized for non-irrigation use. The two non-irrigation are held by the City of Marion, who was identified as being connected to the rural water system in 2002 and likely maintains their wells for standby purposes only. And as such, they are estimated to withdraw 0 acre feet per year from this outwash deposit. But for the two irrigation permits, they are required to report their annual withdrawal rate every year, and they each began pumping in 2014 and 2015, respectively. So while it is a limited number of years of reported data, they on average withdraw 70.4 acre feet per year.
What is the volume that these three applications would be appropriating should they be granted?
Assuming the applicant will apply 10 inches of water per authorized acre each year, the average annual withdrawal rate, if these three permit applications were approved, is expected to be approximately 402 acre feet per year.
So based upon your review of all the information, what is your conclusion regarding the availability of unappropriated water?
Based solely on the observation well data for TU-82C, the amount of unappropriated water available in the outwash deposit cannot be determined. Based on our hydrologic budget, there is a reasonable probability 295 acre feet of unappropriated water is available for the proposed appropriations.
Is that sufficient for all three applications?
No.
So given that there's not a reasonable probability that unappropriated water is available to satisfy all three of the applications, is the chief engineer recommending approval of all three?
No.
What is the chief engineer?
We are recommending approval of two of the permits. Based on the hydrologic budget, there was a reasonable probability 295 acre feet of water is available for the proposed appropriations, which is enough water to support 350 new irrigable acres. Assuming that 10 inch application rate, the amount of available water was discussed with the applicant, and Mr. Hossie worked with us to determine which 350 acres what he would like to proceed with out of the three applications.
And so why is the third one being deferred rather than denied?
To allow for more time to gather the observation well data, which may provide insight on a possible hydrologic connection with the underlying aquifer. This in turn should allow for determination, depending on what the observation well data specifically shows, whether or not there's a reasonable probability unappropriated water being available for the deferred application number 8566-3.
Let's talk about your analysis of unlawful impairment. Is there a map of the area that would show the locations of the different water rates and observation wells?
Yes, there is a map in my report on page 4. From the legend, from the map, the water or the proposed diversion points are noted with a star. There are three of them for the three permit applications. The water rights are noted by triangles. These two triangles are different colors. You have orange ones that are the PSU aquifer water rights and permits currently coded as PSU in the database. And then the green triangle represents the water right currently coded as Niobrara, but through the analysis was determined to be PSU. And additionally, the observation wells are noted by squares.
What is the closest water rate to the proposed points of diversion?
The closest water right is water permit number 7495, held by Dennis Harrelin, and the diversion point for water permit 7495-3 is located between approximately 1/4 mile to 1 mile southeast of the proposed diversion points. TU-82C is approximately 1 mile southwest, and the three observation wells completed in 2016 are located between 2 and 4 miles southwest.
Are there domestic wells in the area?
Yes.
How close is the nearest domestic well?
The closest domestic well on file that is not held by the applicant is located approximately 2 miles northwest of the proposed diversion points.
Possible there are other domestic wells out there?
Yes, there are domestic wells that predate the requirement for well completion reports requiring to be submitted. Therefore, they would not be on record.
Okay. So to receive protection under the law, are there requirements that an existing right or an existing domestic use must meet?
Yes, a well owner with an adequate well is afforded certain legal protections that are not available to well owners with inadequate wells. Additionally, for a water permit application to be approved, the well needs to be adequate, as there are a few exceptions to this, though, with Dakota and Indian Cara wells.
And what is the definition of an adequate well?
An adequate well is a well that has to be capable of allowing the inlet of a pump to be placed 20 feet into the saturated aquifer material or formation material if it is at least 20 feet thick when the well is constructed, and if not, the pump needs to be placed as near to the bottom of the aquifer as possible.
So with all of that information, what is your conclusion as to the potential for unlawful impairment should these three applications be granted?
Unlawful impairment was investigated under the assumption that all three permit applications would be approved, and there is a reasonable probability that any interference from the proposed appropriations will not impose unlawful impairments on existing users with adequate wells.
And what do you base that opinion on?
While the closest water right is located approximately 1/4 mile to 1 mile from the proposed diversion points, I base my opinion on three things: the saturated aquifer thickness, the available artesian head pressure, and the lack of well interference complaints in the PSU aquifer.
Talk about the first two that you mentioned, the saturated thickness. How does that figure into your analysis?
The saturated thickness at the proposed diversion points, I'd have to double check from my test hole completion reports on page 2, varies approximately between 30 and 40 feet thick, which is sufficient thickness for a well to be placed into the saturated material.
Okay. And what about the artesian head pressure? How does that factor into your analysis?
The available artesian head pressure shows that even with the nearest water right being located approximately 1 mile away, his pumping is not seen on the hydrograph and is a drawdown in that artesian head pressure. So by having significant artesian head pressure, there's a reasonable probability these proposed appropriations will not draw down nearby wells.
Thank you. That is all the questions I have. The board may have some questions for you.
Questions from the board? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion on this, on the recommendations.
Mr. Chairman, this is Hudmaker. I'll move that we approve the two permits and defer the one as recommended by the chief engineer.
Do I hear a second?
Second, Freeman.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion. Understanding that the two permits for approval are permit number 8565-3 and permit number 8567-3, and the deferred permit is 8566-3.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, Brenda, please call the roll.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Huttmacher?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
York?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, Ms. Steen. We are right on time for the next item, but let's take about a 5-minute break before we get started here on the next cancellation of a water permit. Be back here in 5 minutes. Hearing no objection, then the 10:15 a.m. item on the agenda, consider cancellation of water permit number 7148-3. Jason Frericks, request appearances, please.
And mine's Bailey on behalf of the Chief Engineer and Water Rights Program.
Anyone else online?
Jason Ferricks is here online whenever you're ready for me.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Let's start with Ms. Mines Bailey.
I don't believe there's a need for opening argument. May I go straight to evidence?
Yes, please.
Before I call Mr. Bath, I would like to admit into the record the administrative file for 7148-3, a permit for Jason Frericks. Excuse me. The administrative file contains the application, the report and recommendation, the permit, the investigative report, and the correspondence between Mr. Frericks and the department.
Mr. Frericks, any objection?
No, not at all.
What was the exhibit number?
Number one.
Number one will be admitted as evidence.
I'd like to call Mark Rath. Marcus, Mr. Frericks wasn't here earlier. I just would like to ask you, were you placed under oath earlier today?
Yes, I was.
And do you understand that you're under oath now?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Could you introduce yourself to the board and to Mr. Frericks, please?
Sure. my name is Mark Rath. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Rights Program.
And what is it that you do for water rights?
I'm the senior ground or surface water engineer, responsible for issues dealing with rivers and lakes and streams and essentially appropriations and then any issues that pop up with them. As a side responsibility, we have on staff some seasonal water right inspectors. And then they go out and do the water permit inspecting for licensing. When they submit the reports to Jenny McMath, she writes up the licenses for to be issued. Once in a while, she'll run into an issue that needs to be handled. That falls either something happened in as part of the inspection, they found something different or whatever. Then Jenny will give those to me, and then I follow up on and take care of whether, you know, whatever needs to be done.
Okay. Are you familiar with water permit number 7148-3?
Yes, I am.
And how so?
Our water inspector based out of Brookings, Daryl DeBoer, submitted an inspection report in August, stating that he had done field visit in August 18th, and then had a telephone conversation with Mr. Frericks on the 20th, and that in the report he stated that there was no construction that had been completed, which was reported on the annual irrigation questionnaires, and that he, with his discussion with Mr. Ferricks, and Mr. Ferricks stated that he is interested in seeing if he can find the right system to go forward. So that generative math, then pass it to me.
Okay. Pardon me. Just to familiarize everybody, what is water permit 7148?
Okay, that is for an irrigation permit to irrigate 60 acres from a single well at 1.44 cubic feet per second from the Rovillo Aquifer.
Approximately where would that be located?
It is approximately a mile and a half northwest of the town of Wilmot in southern Roberts County.
Mark, when was the permit granted?
Excuse me?
When was the permit granted, approved?
The permit was granted, the date of approval was September
18th, 2009. Okay. Under South Dakota law, how long does a permit holder have to construct any necessary works?
Five years from the date of approval.
And what date would that be then for this permit?
The construction would have been completed by September 18th, 2014.
And how long does a permit holder have to place water to beneficial use under the statute?
It's a total of 9 years from the date of approval, which would be 4 years beyond the date of construction.
Okay, and so by what was the deadline for placing water to beneficial use for this permit?
The date would have been September 18th, 2018.
Are those deadlines listed on the permit?
Yes, they are.
And are the permits, a copy of the permit, given to the permit holder?
Yes, it is.
Would Mr. Ferricks have received a copy of this permit?
Yes, he would have.
Okay. I'm going to show you what is in the administrative file. I marked it separately. I marked it as Exhibit 13. Could you tell the board what this is?
Exhibit 13 is the report of examination works and an application of water for beneficial use for water permit number 7148-3. It was completed by Daryl DeBoer, our water right inspector based out of Brookings.
Would that document be in the administrative file?
Yes, it would.
I would move admission of Exhibit 13.
Mr. Ferricks, any objections?
No objection.
Hearing none, we'll admit Exhibit 13.
Mr. Chair, I believe the exhibits were sent out to you by Mr. Duval ahead of time so you could access them individually. Mark, when you reviewed Mr. DeBoer's field site report, what was your understanding of his conclusions?
My understanding was that the permit that the irrigation project permitted under the 7148-3 had not been completed.
Did Mr. DeBoer make a field visit?
Yes, it said it did.
Did he have a phone call with Mr. Ferricks?
Yes, it did. Said he did on August 20th,
2021. Is there any indication as to the results of that phone call?
It indicated that, Mr. Ferricks said he was still interested in completing his project, or said if he can find the right system.
Did you review the irrigation questionnaires which were submitted for water permit number 7148-3?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 2.
Could you tell the board what that is?
That is the irrigation questionnaire for water permit number 7148-3 for 2010.
Is this a copy that you keep in the regular course of business?
Yes, it is.
I would move admission of exhibit to the irrigation questionnaire for 2010.
Mr. Ferricks, any objection?
No objection.
What was the number of that again, Ann?
It's exhibit number 2.
Exhibit 2 will be entered as evidence.
Mark, on that form, what does it indicate for the irrigation for the year of 2010?
That it had was not irrigated in 2010.
Is there a reason given?
It was checked that there is sufficient moisture. It appears that the original irrigation questionnaire that we sent out was not returned, but a Kent Ferricks, who I believe is the permit holder's father, called in with the information contained on this form.
Okay, and what did Kent Ferricks relay?
He said he indicated that Jason's system was operational, however, due to excess moisture in the area, there was no need to irrigate in 2010.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as exhibit number 3. Could you tell the board what that is?
That is the 2011 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move exhibit 3.
Any objections?
No objection.
Hearing none, exhibit 3 is accepted.
Mark, what does the 2011 irrigation questionnaire reflect for irrigation?
That the was not irrigated that year.
Is there a reason given?
Yes, it was listed under other, and that the stated that was work in progress to set up pump and pivot to still plan to use in the near future.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as exhibit 4. Could you please tell the board what that is?
This is the 2012 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move admission of exhibit 4.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit number 4 is accepted.
Mark, what does exhibit 4 tell us about irrigation?
There was no irrigation in 2012.
Is there a reason given?
The box for system and not constructed was checked, and that in the comments section it said still working on developing the irrigation equipment. I still plan to irrigate in the near future.
Okay, I'm going to show you exhibit 5. Could you tell the board what that is, please?
This is the 2013 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move exhibit 5.
Any objections?
No objection.
Hearing none, we'll accept exhibit 5.
Mark, what does the 2015 irrigation questionnaire reflect?
Indicated there was no irrigation in 2013.
And is there a reason given?
The box for system not constructed was checked, and that in the comment box it says planning still in progress for irrigation.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as exhibit 6. Could you tell the board what this is?
This is the 2014 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move exhibit 6.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 6 is accepted.
Mark, what does Exhibit 6 reflect for irrigation in 2016?
No irrigation.
Did I say 2016? I'm so sorry.
2014.
2014, Exhibit 6. I apologize. Is there a reason given?
The other box was checked and says in the comment box it says still working on developing an irrigation or irrigating system.
Okay. When was this document received by Water Rights?
Pardon?
When was this document received by Water Rights?
On November 6, 2014.
And to refresh the recollection of the board, what was the construction deadline for this permit?
Construction deadline was September 18th, 2014.
So this document would have been submitted after the construction deadline?
That would be correct.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 7 to tell the board what this is.
This is the 2015 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move admission of Exhibit 7.
Any objections?
No.
Exhibit 7 is accepted.
Mark, what does Exhibit 7 reflect for irrigation?
That there was no irrigation in 2015.
Is there a reason given?
The box for system not constructed was checked and other was checked, and then in the comment box said still working on getting up the system. Still working on the system, getting up the well is good, or something getting as well as good yet.
I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 8. Could you tell the board what that is, please?
This is the 2016 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I move admission of Exhibit 8.
Any objections?
None.
Exhibit 8 is accepted.
Mark, what does Exhibit 8 tell us about irrigation under 7148-3?
Said that it did, for irrigation in 2016, it did not occur.
Is there a reason given?
The box for other was checked and worked. In the comment box, it says, working on plans to develop a system, still plan to use the permit. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 9. Could you tell the board what this is, please?
This is the irrigation questionnaire for 2017 for permit number 7148-3.
I would move admission of Exhibit 9.
Objections?
None.
Exhibit 9 is accepted.
Mark, what does the 2017 irrigation questionnaire reflect?
It indicated that no irrigation occurred in 2017.
Is there a reason given?
The box for system not constructed was checked, and in the comment box, it said still working on pump and system.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 10. Tell the board what this is, please.
This is the 2018 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move admission of Exhibit 10.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 10 is accepted.
Mark, what is this irrigation questionnaire reflect for use in the year of 2018?
That no irrigation occurred in 2018.
Can you tell the board, is there a reason given? Pardon me.
The box for system not constructed was checked, and in the comment box it said still plan to build a small pivot.
When was this document received by Water Rights?
We received it on November 30th, 2018.
And what was the deadline to place water to beneficial use under this permit?
Put to beneficiary on the permit was September 18th, 2018.
Thank you. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 11. Please tell the board what this is.
This is the 2019 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I move admission of Exhibit 11.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 11 is accepted.
Mark, what is reflected on the 2019 irrigation questionnaire?
That no irrigation occurred in 2019.
Is there a reason given?
The box or system not constructed was checked, and there was nothing in the comment box that year.
Okay. Last one. I'm going to show you what's marked as Exhibit 12. Would you tell the board what this is, please?
This is the 2020 irrigation questionnaire for permit number 7148-3.
I would move admission of Exhibit 12.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 12 is admitted.
Mark, what does this irrigation questionnaire reflect?
That it was not irrigated in 2020.
Is there a reason?
The box for system not constructed was checked, and in the comment box, it's still planned to build a system to irrigate.
Mark, did you speak with Mr. Ferrigs?
Pardon?
Did you speak with Mr. Ferrigs?
Yes, I did.
Could you describe that conversation for the board?
Yes, I called Mr. Ferrigs one morning. I believe it was about the 24th of August of 2021. And I told him I was doing a follow-up to the inspection that Daryl DeBoer had did of his water permit. And that since the system had not been constructed and put to beneficial use within the time frame, that we would be scheduling it for cancellation. Mr. Ferrix indicated that he had faithfully submitted the irrigation questionnaires each year as required, and that he still planned to build a system for it, and was upset that we were considering cancellation. The next day, he left a voice message on my phone, and I returned that phone call, I believe it was on the morning of August 26, 2021, and then we continued to discuss this. Mr. Frick said that the well was in place, that he, I believe, said he had a big gun and pipe and that he could be irrigating with it, and whether that would be a consideration. And I told him, I said, well, we would still schedule it for cancellation, but he could bring his issue in front of the board. He asked if we would provide the documentation that he had submitted with the irrigation questionnaire, and I had indicated that we would.
Mark, did you look to determine if there were other irrigation permits in the vicinity of Mr. Frerich's permit?
Yes, I did.
Are there other irrigation?
Yes, there are several.
Are they similar, would they be lands that have similar irrigation needs?
Yes, I would expect they would.
Similar topography?
Same topography. They were very close, within a handful of miles.
Okay. So you would expect similar climate conditions?
Correct.
Okay. Were other permit holders irrigating during this time?
Yes, they were.
Any years that were an exception where they were not irrigating?
There were years that they indicated sufficient moisture. One that comes to mind that was consistent was 2019. There was also one that indicated did not irrigate during that same time frame.
But the majority had irrigated between 2014 and 2020?
That is correct.
Okay. I have no further questions for you at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Frerichs, questions for the witness?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Rath, has there been any other water right permits that would be looked at as junior to this permit number 7148-3.
Is there one's junior? I'm trying to think. I do believe there are. I can't specifically say that, but I recall looking at one that was in that area that was issued probably about 4 years later. I think it was 2013.
Thank you. And follow up to that, Mr. Rath, has anyone been unable to either exercise their permit or even apply for a permit because of this 7148-3 being senior to any other permits?
I don't believe there had any been denied for irrigation from the Revillo Aquifer.
Thank you. I don't have anything further other than testimony when it's my turn.
Okay. Ms. Mines-Bailey, you have any recross?
I do not.
Thank you, Mr. Rath. Any other witnesses? Ann?
I may call someone on rebuttal, but none right now.
Okay. Then, Mr. Fryericks, I'll turn it over to you. Witnesses?
Thank you. I would call myself as a witness, and again, I stand to be corrected if anything needs to follow better procedure, but I certainly have testimony, and I want to be sworn in when that time is right.
Ms. Bashan, would you please swear him in?
Can you hear me?
Hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
Do you solemnly swear that you are Jason Fryericks and that the testimony you're about to give in this cause will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, and thank you to all of you for the time here this morning. Again, as was mentioned, my name is Jason Fryericks from Wilmot, South Dakota. I farm here, and obviously I'm the holder of this permit. I bought the piece of property that already had this well on that property. I purchased that back in earlier in 2009 anyways, and then soon after that applied for the permit. And as was mentioned in the various documents, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead here a little bit. I do have a document for consideration, and I don't know how that has to go for approval. It was provided to Mr. Duvall.
Carla, do we need a exhibit number?
Mr. Bjork, this is Kirsten. Just for the record, that document is actually contained within Exhibit 1 already.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So you all have the...
Hold on just a minute.
Pardon, go ahead.
Could we lay some foundation for that exhibit? For the exhibit he's offering?
Yes.
Mr. Fryericks, this is Kirsten Jasper, counsel for the board. Would you just please... provide some foundation,
or may I have one dire? Would that be easier?
That might be easier, yes. Ms. Mines-Bailey is going to ask you a couple of questions about that document, Mr. Fryericks.
Sure, thank you for the respect here, appreciate it.
You're getting stuck with all the legalese, my apologies. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. The exhibit which you submitted yesterday, that is in the administrative file because that's an ever-evolving document, but it purports to be two pictures, correct?
That's correct. There's two pictures on the second page of the document.
Could you tell us who took those pictures?
I took those pictures.
And when did you take those pictures?
The pictures were taken just this last summer. So I guess we could share, what you could say, August of 2021.
Okay. And I believe the first picture is of pipe. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
Does that picture fairly and accurately represent the pipe that you were looking at?
Yes.
Okay. And could you tell us the location of that pipe, where that pipe was located?
This pipe is located at the farm, you know, at our base of farm operations here, which is a mile and a half from the location of this well.
Okay. And the second picture, could you tell the board what that's a photo of?
Sure. The second photo is a pump, and this is an electrical powered pump.
And did you take this picture as well?
I did, thank you.
And about what time frame did you take this picture?
Again, just this last summer, so August 2021.
Okay, and is it a fairly accurate representation of what you saw?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Board. I have no objection.
You have no objection?
I have no objection.
Mr. Ferrix and Ms. Mines Bailey, do you want to include that as a separate exhibit, separate from Exhibit 1?
I do believe it should be separately marked.
I just want, for clarification, I wanted to make sure that.
Mr. Ferrix, would you like to have that as a separate exhibit?
Please.
So we need a separate number for that?
Could we perhaps do Exhibit A?
We will mark it, Mr. Bjork, since you can't see what's going on necessarily over here. We will mark it as Exhibit A if you want to admit it as Exhibit A.
Okay. Any other objections to Exhibit A then? Hearing none, it will be entered as evidence. Thank you. Mr. Ferrix, go ahead, please.
Thank you, and thanks again for all of the staff assistance here. You know, as was mentioned, I have the well is already in operation. I still want to perform better testing on the well, though, because with this electrical-powered pump, that's been hindrance to me to be able to have electricity over there or an additional generator or other things just to power that pump. But as was mentioned, I do have and you can see in the picture, the pipe. We have a vast supply of the pipe to reach the area that we plan to irrigate that is near this well. But also have a traveling gun, but I just, it's a bigger decision to decide if we use that traveling gun in terms of running down crop as opposed to using a small pivot system. I have not purchased a small pivot yet. I still am exploring the options to use a pivot or maybe some other type of traveling gun, or as was mentioned by Mr. Rath, a big gun of some sort, even better than the one that we have right now to reduce the amount of trips across the field. I will share that it's certainly my intent to utilize this existing well that is there and irrigate on those acres. The ground that is located and part of the permit is actually probably some of the heaviest ground that needs irrigation the least in the vicinity, but I won't dispute anything else that has been shared as far as why other systems have been used, but it certainly is a little bit in a separate case. And again, if I found a mechanical pump that I could use and not have to use this existing electrical pump, that certainly would be a much better option. But in the end, I just want to share that I should have look back on my permit a little bit better, and certainly reviewed statutes even more too, to know that I had to actually test pump and set up the system, even though I had all of the system capabilities here located on our farm and dedicated for this facility. I didn't perform the test pump nor have any staff come out and witness that and check off that it's certainly in operation. The only time I heard from staff from the department was when they were asking if I had developed it and then the cancellation. So I just asked if there's any ability to be able to perform a test pump and establish the system this summer, or if there'd be an extension that's in order, I would welcome that. And how I would do that, I would have to use a generator to power this electrical pump that you saw. It's part of evidence and is in the pictures. Thank you.
Ms. Bynes-Bailey, you have questions for this witness?
No, thank you, sir.
Questions from the board? Also, and I neglected to get Mr. Rath involved in this, questions for Mr. Frerichs or Mr. Rath from board members?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
I would have a question of Mr. Frerichs or a couple. First, I'm not sure that we have the authority to extend the state law. I think we do. But what do you think you need for a time frame to get this up and running?
Well, thank you, Mr. Huttmacher. And wish would be at least to have a year, as was mentioned. I think it's something that could be accomplished this summer. The other problem where the well is located, it's actually in a low spot, and so it's in a pasture, and I have to build somewhat of a road to get there, aside from using an ATV to get out to this location. And we're really wet up here actually this spring. I wish we could share some of that moisture.
I wish you could too.
Yeah. So I hope to, would hope to this summer, but I, again, it has to be, have to be able to achieve access to that area.
Are you looking at a center pivot system as opposed to a gun then?
In the past, I've looked at a center pivot system, but, cost is something that I see as being, on a per acre basis, it's going to be very difficult to justify a center pivot system. So that's why I've fallen back on the idea of using a gun and then perhaps changing crop systems. Right now it's been a corn soybean rotation. If I'd incorporate some alfalfa or something else that wouldn't be such a big deal to run down, that could change too, and utilize the gun that we have. Or I'd like to have a better traveling gun just to, like I said, to have it cover more area.
Okay, that's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you.
Other questions from board members?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Holtzbauer here, and I'm a little bit concerned. The way I got it, it's not written here, but he applied for that in 2009, right?
Are you asking Mr. Burns' question?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess I'm asking Mr. Ferry. You applied for that in 2009, and you had to,
yes,
before 2014 to get this beneficially used and constructed, and then used it in 2018, right? So between those 9 years, from 2009 to 2018, you had no drought, no reason to irrigate?
Well, as was shared, there certainly are times that it could have been used. It's a matter of justifying whether I wanted to run down the crop. And in some of those years, it was corn, and obviously the damage that's done then. So I wouldn't want to say that there was no need for it. It was just a matter of justifying and then setting up the pipe and having the existing motor that we had just requires a lot more work to get get established with the generator.
Okay, and that motor you talked about, that looks like to me in that picture, that's a brand new motor.
Yeah, this is a recent. This is a recent picture. We put a new motor on there. The pump itself is existing, and then the reason we put a new one on there is we have another system that we can use this one on. We actually have now with this new one, we have another one. So there's on another permit in a total separate area. So it's just it's a multi-use type of pump and motor, and like I said, yeah, we put a new one on. I could share a picture of the old motor, but it's the pump itself, you can tell, is existing, and it's we've had.
Okay, my biggest concern is your desire, really. I mean, you've been filling out these questionnaires. Hey, you're faithful, but the activity is not showing the need for that permit, and the way the laws are set up, it looks like that you overextended that process, and I'd have to ask the chairman or the division would it be better just to apply for a new permit, because he'd lose his priority date then, wouldn't he?
Is that a question from Mr. Rath that you would like to ask?
Yeah.
It's a legal question, Mark.
I'd be
That would be a legal question for counsel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I can ask Ms. Bailey.
It's probably be a better question for your legal counsel. If what you're seeking is legal advice, that would be something that we could discuss in an executive session.
Oh. Mm. Okay. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? Ms. Mines-Bailey, you had a rebuttal witness?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to call Eric Gronlund, please.
Eric Gronlund.
And because Mr. Frericks wasn't here earlier, were you in the room when the oath was administered to Water Rights staff?
Yes, I was.
Were you placed under oath at that time?
Yes.
And you understand that you're under oath now?
Yes.
Could you tell the board why you recommended cancellation of this permit?
Based on the statutory water rights law in regards to water permitting. As far as with non-construction as well, the time to place water to beneficial use.
Has the board ever taken financial consideration into account as a basis to extend or grant or allow a non-use of water?
I can't point to the specific case, but in the past, the board has not taken financial considerations into making a determination. If that were the case, we would never, excuse me, we would not be able to cancel a water right in South Dakota.
Is there a process by which someone can apply for an extension for a period of construction or a period to place water to beneficial use?
There is a statute, memory serves me right, I think it's 46.526, I could be mistaken, that allows for the filing of an extension of time. That extension of time needs to be filed prior to the expiration of the date on the permit.
If I told you that period of time was 3 years, would that sound accurate?
That you can extend for 3 years?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a recital of that statute.
There were questions about the availability of unappropriated water in the Brazil aquifer. Could you describe the availability of water?
We recently processed a water permit from the Revillo Aquifer, so in preparation for this, I looked at the report on that, and based solely on the hydrologic budget, there is unappropriated water available. And I'm going to take a step back to your other question. Sorry. I think your recital was in regards to whether a reinstatement. There is another statute that allows for reinstatement of a water permit if works are not completed in a timely fashion. I believe that statute is 46-2A-8.1, if memory serves me right.
Your memory is very good. Is there anything else that you would like to say or to share with the board for their consideration?
Well, I'm sympathetic to Mr. Frerichs and his situation, and he has been dutiful in filing his irrigation questionnaires. However, I believe I'm charged with following the water rights law, and that's why we brought this matter forward. I guess I have concerns on if we allow to go beyond what the statutes provide, as far as how that we would react to that as being able to bring other cancellations in the future.
Anything else?
Nope, I think that's it.
No further questions.
Mr. Frerichs, you have questions for this witness?
No questions.
Questions from the board. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion in the matter of cancellation of water permit number 7148-3 for Mr. Frerichs.
Mr. Chair, would you entertain argument, perhaps?
Argument in what category are we talking about here, Ann?
A closing argument from the parties.
We can do that. You want to start?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Mr. Frerichs, members of the board, the reason I requested argument is because this really is a legal issue, and I want to make sure that the record is clear as to the chief engineer's position. 46-28-8 has two requirements for every new permit. Those requirements are that the works necessary to place the water to beneficial use have to be constructed within 5 years of the date of issuance of the permit. And the second requirement is within 4 years of construction of the works, the water has to be placed to beneficial use. Failure to do those two things results in an invalid permit, and that's set forth in rule. Because we are bringing the cancellation, we bear the burden of proof. I believe that we have to show you by a preponderance of the evidence that construction did not occur and that water was not placed to beneficial use. Here you have, just looking at construction, you have 10 years of irrigation questionnaires indicating that the system was not constructed, that it was still being planned. And you have conversations with two water aid staff indicating that the system wasn't constructed, still being planned. And today you have Mr. Frerichs' testimony that he's still looking at different options. So I would contend that the preponderance of the evidence demonstrates that there was no construction. Even if you want to put a higher burden on the department, the clear and convincing evidence burden, even by that, I believe we've satisfied that. Now the board under the statute, under 46-5-26, the board can extend a period to construct, but only upon the finding of certain conditions and only for a reasonable time. So the statute says that the board can only extend a period of construction for delays due to physical or engineering difficulties that could not reasonably be anticipated, for the operation of law, which would be some sort of court case or some sort of legal dispute. And the third would be exigent circumstances. And to demonstrate that one of those exceptions applies, the burden then shifts to Mr. Frerichs. And so then Mr. Frerichs has to demonstrate that there's some exigent circumstance, really, that would indicate the need for an extension. I think we can eliminate the first two, that there was a physical or engineering difficulty. I don't believe there's any evidence of that. It seems to be stemming from a hesitation about what kind of system to put in. And there was no testimony and there's no evidence about the operation of law. So then we're looking at exigent circumstances. And the question becomes whether or not a financial consideration or an indecision about what the best system to put in is an exigent circumstance. I don't believe that exists. I don't believe that the burden has been met, especially when you look at how the South Dakota Supreme Court has interpreted exigent circumstances. The other problem is that the statute limits the board's authority. You can only extend it for a reasonable period of time. So Mr. Frerichs had from 2009 until 2014 to construct. If you were to grant an extension for that construction period, you would be granting that extension for more than double of what the initial period of construction was allowed under statute. And I don't believe that constitutes a reasonable extension. And then the third problem here, we've looked very hard trying to figure out how Mr. Frerichs could keep this permit. But the third problem is we can't even go back and reinstate, because the statute requires that the application needs to be within 3 years of the expiration of the construction period. So Mr. Frerichs would have had to have come to us and asked us to extend the period of construction before 2017, before September 18, 2017. And we're now 7 years past that. So with regard to the non-construction, we believe under the statute, our hands are tied. There's no way to extend that period of construction. And I would contend that would be demonstrated by both the preponderance of the evidence and clear and convincing evidence. But the second requirement is the beneficial use. So even if you want to find he's constructed because he has all of the pieces, even though we're not certain if all the pieces work or all the pieces work together, even if you want to find construction is completed, you also need to find that he placed the water in beneficial use. Again, he's got 4 years. The pre-hearing brief mistakenly said 2019. It should be 2018 was the deadline for Mr. Frerichs to place water to beneficial use. Again, we're under that preponderance of the evidence standard that the department needs to show by a preponderance of the evidence that the water was not used. Again, you have the 10 years of irrigation questionnaires, you have the discussions with the water rights engineer, and you have the testimony here today. And again, to find that an extension should be given, the burden falls on Mr. Frerichs to show one of those exceptions, and those exceptions are the same as the physical construction, as the same as the construction. The difficulty in physical or engineering, the operation of law, or exigent circumstances. And again, I don't believe the first two are shown. The only one that would be possible would be exigent circumstances. Mr. Frerichs has said that it's too wet, that this ground isn't properly irrigated over the last at least 7 years. But we have evidence in the record that shows that other irrigators nearby within, I believe Mr. Rath's testimony was a mile, were irrigating. And so I'm not sure that it can be said that exigent circumstances have been met. I don't believe that too wet for 7 years is sufficient, just a sufficient excuse. So I don't believe the burden's been met on the exigent circumstances. But then again, you also run into the problem of the board is allowed a reasonable period for extension. If you were to grant even one more year, you would be doubling the amount of time under the allowed under the statute to place to beneficial use. And you would essentially be mandating that he has to irrigate this summer. And there is no statutory ability to reinstate for failure to place to beneficial use. That statute's very specific. It only refers to construction. It doesn't refer to beneficial use. To the extent that maybe Mr. Frericks is arguing the excuses placed in rule for the legal excuses for non-use, those legal excuses are very specific to forfeiture, and that's a different statute than what we're looking at here. So unfortunately, those excuses can't be applied to this statute. In the end, our hands are tied. That cancellation of this permit is the only option under the law. Mr. Frericks would be able to reapply, and I think it's highly likely that his application would be granted. It would cost him the application fee, which I believe is approximately $700 with another $100 for publication in the newspapers. So because of the way the law works, I just want to make it clear, like, the chief engineer is not out here trying to get rid of water permits when people can irrigate. I mean, we have a mandate from the legislature to put water to maximum beneficial use. But we also have these laws that require that you have to meet certain deadlines and you have to meet certain requirements. And for that reason, we bring this case to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mines-Bailey. Mr. Frericks, closing argument.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to all of you for the time and to the staff. I appreciate the respectful dialogue. I didn't share earlier, but it's certainly not any other, big information, but I'm very involved in about six other irrigation systems, and so it isn't that, but all of those have been established. I think in the case of the one on, that's on my father's land, he has two permits, I think, and those are back from 1976, and so, that's what's really interesting, how once you have those permits or everything is established, all you have to do is fill out the questionnaire. it appears anyways from my standpoint, and so in this construction phase, which I feel the definition of construction is still a loose term, at least that's only in my opinion, but if you look at all the materials that I have on hand right now, I'm able to irrigate with. And so, especially when it comes to a movable traveling gun and the pump type of system that we have to use on this existing well, which again, the well was already constructed. Everything's very mobile that we have right now. And as was mentioned, my main, it's not so much of, again, we could have pumped the water had I known that was the case, and that's not, it's on me. I'm the permit holder initially there from 2009. I should have done my research, but I didn't know that the testing and the proof that everything is going to work needed to happen within those timelines. But I have everything. I've had all of those items. The pump, it has always been here, but it's not the right type of pump I want to use. And as I mentioned, it's not the right type of traveling gun that I feel is best for this area. As far as the, I just want to remind all of you, nothing has been testified that I'm holding up somebody else's application as far as needing water here.
Mr. Frericks, we can't hear you.
still muted. We're coming across that way.
Go ahead. Shows that I'm unmuted.
You're back.
We can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just put a message there to let all of you know. I'll certainly complete, but I just wanted to let all of you know it's not my intent to hold this permit to keep anyone else from being able to irrigate. And as was testified to, there's plenty of water. Within a half mile is the test site. That's a DANR observation well. And as was mentioned, there's plenty of water available. So I'm willing to work on it yet here, but I also understand what you folks have as a job to do and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Fredericks. Comments from the board? Comments from the board? Hearing none.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little late at this.
Yes, Mr. Holzmauer.
I'm a little late at this, but it bothers me. I don't know who I should. Can I just talk?
Yes, you may.
Okay, because I was requested of asking this particular the right person. But with this, with a permit, with an irrigation permit, I've had a couple since 1956. And If you got a permit, everything's all set up and stuff, and you don't use it for a number of years, except for the lack of not needed because too much rain or enough rain, you can lose that permit then. You can lose that permit by not using it, even if it's set up. And this he made the comment that it was all set up and he just didn't use it. Well, you can lose it for not using it. I've had situations like that. So anyway, I just want to be sure that all the information and as much as we possibly can have for information for making the decision is out there. And with that, I'll back off.
Thank you, Leo. Other comments? There's been a suggestion that we may go into executive session for this situation. I don't feel that's necessary. Given that, I will entertain a motion in this matter, the matter of water permit number 7148-3 and the cancellation thereof.
This is Larson. I'll make a motion to cancel the permit 7148-3 for non-construction pursuant to South Dakota law. And there's been no showing of exigent circumstances to do otherwise.
Thanks, sir. Do I hear a second?
Dixon, second.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. Brenda, would you please call the roll?
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman? Rodney? Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hutmaker?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Bjork?
Looks like he's...
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Any other, Jim, are you back?
Mr. Chair.
Any other comments for Rod? I guess, Rod, are you back with us yet?
It appears that he's frozen.
Either that or he's got a steely gaze that can't be moved.
Mr. Fryericks, thank you for joining us today. Any other issues before the board today? I believe that's the last item we have on our agenda.
Just with regard to findings, findings of fact with regard to the contested case, Your Honor.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Or, Mr. Chair, I think what we're going to propose is that proposed findings be submitted on Monday, April 11th, and then any objections would be Friday, April 22nd, to be in compliance with the next scheduled meeting of the board.
Mr. Fryericks, do you have any problem with that?
I think he dropped off, didn't he?
I think he's gone.
I think he's gone. Okay.
One.
Ms. Mines Bailey.
Yes, sir.
Any problem with that schedule?
None at all. I will happily draft.
Okay.
For Ms. Jasper's order.
Not my
order. Very good.
One item. This is Ron. It was when I was trying to help Jim to get on in the meeting. When you adopted the board minutes, which I presume happened, was there any conversation about possibly having Leo sign those for you as long as he's present?
There was not that conversation, but we certainly can do that if we want to, I could listen to a motion.
Mr. Chairman, he is the secretary, I think.
Yeah.
He is.
And the last page of the minutes just simply says Water Management Board. It doesn't have your name there, Tim. So
okay.
I don't see it as a problem. I just wanted to make sure everybody's aware.
Regardless,
do we need a motion to that effect?
Chairman Bjork, would he have your permission to sign on your behalf if that is even required?
He certainly has.
Then I think we're probably covered with that there reference.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else to come before the board today? Okay, our next meeting will be on or about May 4th, May 5th, right around that area. I will accept a motion to adjourn.
Holzmeier, so move.
Motion made to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.